the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
My name is Michael Bailey, and you're listening to the EDP Formula One podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the pod. Again, we're back to have a look back at the Bahrainian Grand Prix. Bahrainian? Bahrainese?
Bahrain.
I prefer Bahrainese. We should probably call it Bahrain. The Bahrain Grand Prix. Most sensible way of dealing with it. My name is Michael Bailey. Monster Pod once again joining me, which is always good to see. Means I don't have to talk a lot. My throat might give up halfway through anyway, so it's probably best. Magnificent pod grouping of Perry Hamilton's here.
Hello.
You right?
Yeah, very well. Outstanding. Missed the last one. Very upset. But back with finger firmly on the pulse.
Should have emailed in your predictions.
Should have. They've probably been wrong.
It's a worrying new trend that I might have to adjust my Fridays off. Kyle Cumbers is here. Hello, Kyle.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good to see you. Enjoy the race.
Very much so. Very good race.
We're going to get stuck into this, aren't we? Steve Russell's here. Hello, Steve.
Yep, hello.
You on Twitter yet?
Nope.
It's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to happen. We're going to keep asking. Yep. Going to keep asking. DT is here as well.
Dave, hello.
Tilia, two on the trot.
Yeah.
What a pleasure.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure, DT.
Trying to make it a regular thing, if it's possible.
Is the lady okay with this now? Or
she's all right, yeah. Yeah, she's well. She didn't have to put up with the F1 because I watched it at work / the next morning.
Nicely done.
But good. I'll get her there eventually. She will enjoy the Formula 1.
She will, dagnabbit.
Yeah.
And Mr. Maverick. I'm actually just going to call you Maverick.
That's fine.
Today, I have to say Craig. Do I have to say Craig? I can't work out. I feel like no one else cares. I'm the only one who.
You really don't have to. I've been called a lot worse.
Mav's here. You're right, my man.
Yes, I'm very good. Thank you.
You've helpfully designed a new podcast logo that we're going to use when I get my backside of gear.
No worries.
Not on Photoshop.
No. I appreciate
anyone
it.
Anyone can use Paint, mate. It's just Microsoft Paint.
And it's still better than my Photoshop effort that I spent 4 days doing, because I can't use Photoshop. Anyway, let's get talking about the Formula One, shall we? Because that's the fun stuff. I think we teed it up pretty spot on in the last pod, saying how the track was a bit rubbish, the races aren't very good, blah blah blah. This was a cracking race, wasn't it?
Absolutely brilliant. Loved it. Glued to my seat.
Can we think of the last race that was close to that?
1970s.
I'm glad you can remember those.
That's before I was born.
Oh, there you go then. Well, I mean,
you're going back to the Button victory in Canada, 2011.
That was good. Seb's charge from the back at Abu Dhabi was pretty exciting to watch. I seem to recall that was a good race as well.
Mm-hmm. Loving it. It just, where did it come from? Why was it such a good race?
It's hard to say, because Bahrain, other than shifting the time and putting up some lights, hasn't really changed all that much. It's pretty much the same track, so it must be something to do with the way these new cars are set up, the way all the rule changes are coming, and that track, those two things combined somehow have given us this amazing spectacle.
It's that perfect storm, isn't it?
Yeah, and Lewis Hamilton being awesome.
Oh, he's unleashed now, isn't he? Yeah. Surely he's just off the chain. They just let him open the taps, off he goes.
Because there was I just love the fact that you almost forgot about the Mercedes, and then all of a sudden you cut to them because Rosberg was about to overtake him, and just being allowed to race like that. Can we give Mercedes enough credit for that, Mav?
I thought they did superbly. I mean, they had a 5 second lead on lap five, and it just opened
standard.
Up even more and more. And some of the passing attempts and passes made were just incredible by the pair of them. Rosberg would make a move, Hamilton would counter it. It was delicious.
It was what a word that is. Because this isn't usual, is it, Steve? I mean, teams tend to make their drivers be wary of each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see a team, actually. I think we can probably all agree, actually, got it right in terms of dealing with their drivers and how to let them work on a track. You know, because we've seen so many, you know, different things not work with through the Red Bull, Ferrari and all sorts, and it was just nice to see that they were clearly allowed to race. You know, and even when things actually got a little bit hot on one bit, they still let them get on with it and trusted them out there, and it was just nice to see, really. It just gave the viewers what they wanted.
It did indeed. Yeah. We all lapped it up.
Yeah. Speaking of giving viewers the way they want it, I've just worked out how we can make Formula 1 better. At every racetrack, every race, we just have 10 fewer laps, and then you end the race 10 laps early, give them a set amount of points for that race, and then you give them a 10 lap sprint race where they're not allowed to change tyres, they have just the right amount of fuel to burn it from start to finish, and just let them get on with it, have a little 10 lap sprint race, because that was fantastic.
It was a safety car, basically. Yeah. Wasn't it? Because it did make a massive
difference. They talked it up as well. There's only ever been one safety car prior to that at the Bahrain Grand Prix, and what was that, 10 years they've been there now?
Mm. Well, Vettel's whole strategy was based on having a safety car at some point, probably a bit earlier, to bail him out.
No, it's just, there's so much runoff, and there's so many, it's not a narrow track, there's no really tight twisty parts, and in all the areas where you think, well, I might have a look, sort of turn 11, very difficult to, you know, get past there, but if you have a look, there's plenty of space for you to get off the throttle and pull out, and it's just, it doesn't seem to be the kind of track that you can have those big smashes, unless you're, yeah, going into turn one at high rate of knots.
Yeah. Imagine that's what Maldonado was thinking. Like,
yeah, exactly.
How can I create a safety
car? Yeah, you can't actually park it. This must be totally safe, right? Smash, over he goes. But yeah, it's not a high. There's not a high ratio of safety cars there. As you can see, it's a fairly safe track.
Should we touch on the accident? Because Maldonado flipped Gutierrez like a burger, basically, didn't he?
I just understand what he's doing. He's coming out of the pits, and you think, I'll just follow him around the first corner because he's not going to see me. I've got a fresh set of tyres, I'll hopefully overtake him soon. But typical Maldonado just doesn't learn. Well, Mr. Grosjean's learned over the years, but Maldonado just keeps getting worse. And you compare him to like the younger drivers, Viet, who's 19 and can manage to get around the track without smashing into people.
Magnussen coming exceedingly well, you know, and not crashing into people. This is what Matt Past is in his third year now. Two of Williams.
But hasn't Magnussen had a come together with Kimi twice now?
So says Kimi. Yeah,
Kimi. He's the only one who noticed.
I'm not surprised that Kimi's going to take it out on a Dane, let's be honest. You know, there's some Scandinavian rivalry there. But it's nowhere near the level of the kind of stuff that Maldonado's pulled out before.
Are we worried about the nose safety? Because the idea was that these noses wouldn't go over the top.
I think it's more wheel on wheel, wasn't it? That sort of
sideways, sideways flip.
Did look a bit like something from Robot Wars, didn't it? You all remember that. It looked a bit like one of the robots flipping another one. Looked great. Well, terrifying, but great.
Craig Charles is cool.
Yeah! Oh, there you go.
To be honest, probably one of those robots from Robot Wars probably would be quicker than the Lotus at the moment.
That's very true. It's got that sort of tusk. That's almost like designed out of Robot Wars, isn't it? That twin tusk front.
If he gets close enough to another vehicle, a little like buzzsaw comes out the front.
Yeah! Oh, that'd be brilliant. That'd be amazing.
And back to Formula One.
Okay. Cut! Okay, it's time for the EDP F1 Pit Stops! So would it be fair to say everyone here thinks that it's all about Mercedes still this year? In terms of titles, can we almost nail that one down now? Ed, I think you were the only guy who suggested that Mercedes wouldn't win something at the end.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at it. Of the teams that are not Mercedes powered, Red Bull are by far and away the absolute best. I mean, you've got Daniel Ricciardo coming in fourth, starting 13th on the grid in a Red Bull that is supposed to have, you know, a terrible power unit in it. It's not supposed to be able to compete at this level. And yet it does. And it's towards those ads, which is why I think it would be very interesting, as, you know, DT suggested, that 10-lap sprint. It's towards the end of the race when they start getting that lighter body load because they lose their fuel and that mechanical grip really comes in.
And we all know that aerodynamically, Red Bull's going to be absolutely fantastically designed. That's what Adrian Newey does. But I can't remember who it was. It might have been Alonso. It might have been Kimi. I think it was definitely a Ferrari driver. I read an interview with them, and they said, same thing happened in 2009. Braun smashed the first six races, absolutely got away with it. And then everyone else started catching up. And towards the end, it was really tight. The only difference now is the points system has changed, I believe, hasn't it? Has it changed since 2009? So there's more points for a win.
And we've got double points at the end,
of the season. So I still maintain, if there's a team that's going to be able to challenge halfway through the season and maybe come on strong at the end, it's going to be Red Bull. Vettel's going to get past his problems. We know he's quick. He's multiple-time world champion, so we know he's pretty much the best driver at the moment. Pains me to say that. But he is, and the winds have proven it. And Ricciardo's come out and been quicker than I think anyone was really predicting for him. Okay, he's had a torrid run of luck with his penalties and his disqualifications and what have you. But they don't rest on him. They rest on reliability and the team.
He finished ahead of Vettel this weekend.
Absolutely.
Brilliant
Cracking
performance.
Drive. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Can't fault him.
And we've got all of Vettel's best tracks coming as well.
Exactly.
Well, like the other 17, 16 of the season in the calendar. Yeah. Force India, shall we mention them? Because woof, Mav, woof.
Yeah, I thought it was a cracking weekend for the pair. Well, Hülkenberg had a pretty much his sort of standard drive for the year, it seems, finishing in fifth. But Perez, yeah, well, what can you say about him? He had some... just brilliant passing manoeuvres he was making out of turn four, taking it really in deep on the outside, and then as the car turned in to stop any kind of line, he would just catapult up the inside. It was brilliant.
Helped for the Mercedes engine, I suppose, but he needed that, didn't he?
Well, he did, really. I mean, he came off of the back of a mixed season with McLaren last year, should we say.
Second half of it was really awful.
But yeah, it was a solid race for him, really. I think he probably needed that, you know, going up against Hülkenberg, who we know, well, was once considered by Ferrari to be probably a driver for the future. So yeah, it was a good result for him.
It's kind of make you excited about that pairing for the rest of the season, doesn't it? A little bit.
Yeah, because Hülkenberg sort of first year races was a bit ahead of Perez, but you know, Perez had come back now, and yeah, that'll be a good battle between them two. Both young, both looking to get into a bigger team. So yeah, I think it'll be a good battle.
Anyone else wants to bring up over the race? I've got here Max Chilton finishing 13th, which is a terrific effort for Mauritia, finishing but back in 13th. They're back in 10th in the Constructors' Championships. There's a bit of a ding-dong between them and Caterham. Caterham were fairly... indescript again.
I don't know, they were quite racy with the Lotuses, I thought, at the start of the race. You know, Kobayashi and...
They're in a league of their own.
I think they were... Obviously, the Lotuses are pretty poor at the moment, but they were having a bit of dicing with them, which I thought was always good to see.
Are life just going to turn this around anytime soon?
It's hard to say, because
they've probably go quicker in reverse.
Literally turn it around
and drive backwards, guys. Yeah. Come on.
But they've lost a lot of staff. They've still got Grosjean, who's a very quick driver and has proved that he can be consistent as well. As we were saying a minute ago, we don't know about Maldonado, whether or not he can actually
drive,
yeah.
Oh, he's consistent.
Oh, well,
consistently running into people.
Yeah.
But I suppose, I mean, there's sort of signs that the car may be quick once they kind of get it together, I suppose, isn't it? It's just now
it just seems underdeveloped, and I think by the time they develop it, it will be too late. So, you know, they might be able to elevate themselves towards the end of the season, but and they're not really going to get anything from it.
No, fair enough. I feel like we should mention Ferrari as well, because we touched on Kimi a little while ago. Well, what's that about?
I thought it was a dreadful weekend for them.
Because there was some stats about the... I can't remember if it was the straight line speed. I think it was. Or certainly the sort of start-finish straight speed. I think the Ferrari-powered engines were sort of behind Renault, seemed to be. Certainly not a lot in them.
I mean,
it's just it's not supposed to be like this.
You think Mercedes and Ferrari had the advantage of engine and car all in one, years to design it, and you look at how far Mercedes team are ahead of Ferrari, it's quite scary. And there's a great picture of Fernando Alonso actually celebrating going over the line in ninth. He was actually happy with that. I think that just shows that
maybe it was ironic.
Actually, the news afterwards, she seemed generally pleased and she got a point. Also, pronounce his name, Luca de Montezemolo, or whatever it's called.
Perfect.
He was,
just call him Luca. All his mates do.
His name was Luca.
Him being there the weekend, and I think Ferrari's son was there as well, so yeah, I think it's pressure building up. I don't know, they were looking for this year to be a big year for them, but they look so far behind.
It amazes me because it's so simple. Ferrari excel at making fast cars. Why can they not make an impact in a sport that is built around driving fast cars? Come on now, guys. You want to be the fastest car racing today. This is it. This is your pinnacle.
But this is what Ferrari do all throughout the years. They'll have a brilliant car, brilliant season, and then it'll die for a while. And then all of a sudden they'll come back resurgent, and then they'll die off again. And they just do that constantly. Before Mark Schumacher came on, they were woeful.
Oh, Gerhard Berger and Jean Alesi, you calm down, sir. One of the greatest driver pairings of all time.
And I suppose the problem recently is they've had a decent car occasionally and mucked up the strategy.
Yeah.
Or the actual nuts and bolts of it.
Or left it out with a broken front nose.
Well, yeah, quite.
Whoops.
Righty-ho, then. Shall we have our of the weekends? Gents, I'll let you open the bidding. There's a lot of us, so speak up. Let's have your driver of the weekend.
Driver?
Yeah.
For me is Ricardo, I think.
Very well done, sir. Very well done. I completely agree.
Yeah, absolutely. I did quite a bit of thinking about this whilst I was watching the race.
Good. I'd like to think.
Rather than
good
sort man. Of just trying to like pick one out of the hat when we arrive in the room. But I actually thought about this. And yeah, I think of all the people, he not only did he charge through the field and race quickly, but he, you know, some good solid overtaking. And I thought he outclassed Vettel, I think. So, which is no mean feat.
I think that's a really key word there, DT, is class. And that's what you're seeing from him, is everything, he's approached everything in exactly the right way. He knows he's the younger guy, he knows he's the number two. He's not whinging about it, he's not moaning about it, he's just getting out there and he's doing what he does, and he does everything with, he appears to do everything with a level of respect and humility. Mm-hmm. And I find myself there cheering for a Red Bull driver the way that I cheered for Mark Webber. You know, didn't want Vettel to do it, but I was always gone Webber. And I think Ricciardo stepped really nicely into that role, but flashing that ability that Webber flashed maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, when Webber actually had that ability to get up there and sort of rock with the big boys, as it was.
I'm loving Valtteri Bottas. Just on that point, Valtteri Bottas is probably my favourite driver on the grid. I think he's just brilliant. Not saying he's driving the weekend, I just love him as a character. Anyone know any drivers at the car?
I'd agree, Ricciardo.
Yeah, Ricciardo.
Yeah, qualified.
Ricciardo, everyone should be calling him.
Ricciardo.
Oh.
He calls himself Ricciardo.
I know he does, but it's because he didn't want to get beaten up in Australia. It's a ridiculous reason to mispronounce your name. Steve?
I'm going to have to apologise. Mine's going to be very, very predictable.
Lewis.
It's going to be our race winner.
Well, I had Lewis down on here.
Yeah.
He did very well to hold. He was pole, did everything asked of him.
You know, I mean, he had a slightly slower car compared to where Rosberg even had the car. You know, and then to with 10 laps on slower tyres, keeping Rosberg behind him.
And the disappointment of working so hard to have an advantage and having it just wiped out completely.
Yeah.
To actually maintain the race lead, it looked like it'd be a foregone conclusion that he'd lose out. What do you reckon, Matt?
Quick question before you throw off the back of that. If it had been reversed and it had been the exact same situation, but the drivers had been the other car, so Rosberg was on the slower tyre in front, he'd had the advantage, they'd been wiped out by the safety car, and Hamilton was behind. Do you think Rosberg could have kept Hamilton behind him? I don't.
No, I don't.
And I think that's the difference, and I think that's what you'll see this season.
I think Hamilton sent out a clear message to Rosberg, and that is that in a slightly slower car for setup reasons and slower car tyres, I can still beat you.
And I think that's the message to the rest. That's not just to Rosberg, I think that's to everyone. That is, I'm a world champion and I'm possibly the best driver on the grid. You need to respect it.
And if you saw Rosberg's face after the race, he got that message loud and clear. You could see it written all over his face. He was miserable. I've never seen someone so upset to come someone so upset to come second, you know, and still be leading the world championship.
Really,
he was properly miserable.
Mava?
Well, we kind of already touched on it, but Perez, I think, so far he's gone 10th, DNS, and then 3rd. And, it was just, had great speed all weekend, did well in qualifying, and then just topped it off with a brilliant race result.
Spot on. I would agree with that. only Force India's second ever podium. Is that right?
After Spa or
2011, 2009.
Hell of an effort.
Yeah, but it was
Fisichella. Yeah, got him his Ferrari drive.
Everyone had a go on that one.
I just want to give a little shout out to JB. I thought Jenson Button was driving really well this weekend, and it was a real shame when he went out. But that's, I just thought he was doing really, really well.
Yeah,
he had one of my highlights of the race, which I know we'll get to in a minute. So I'll talk about it in a minute.
Alright, then go on.
No, we'll talk about it. I'm just saying, and JB, I thought he had a really good race. Really nice to see him just looking so smooth and so sweet and almost resurgent on the track. I think we could be seeing some podiums for McLaren and JB this year.
Let's hope so. Let's hope the car can deliver it. Goat of the weekend.
Pastor Maldonado. Does anyone disagree with that?
Yeah,
that's what I had. Mav.
Yeah, I'm pretty much there. We get on that.
The Mav seal of approval. That's good. team. This might be a straightforward one as well. Team of the weekend.
Mercedes.
Old rusty saying.
Just got it so right though, didn't they?
Mercedes and Williams.
Yeah, it was a bit of a tough call. Force India. Yeah, Mercedes. Championship.
I would have said Force India, I must admit.
I'm gonna say Red Bull. They're not meant to be where they are. They obviously the only other you've got Ferrari, who are the worst engined car that isn't Renault or they're not the Mercedes engine, and they're up there pulling in fourth places. Red Bull aren't meant to be doing that. And if you're going to put your strategy on hoping to have a safety car at Bahrain, you deserve to finish a little bit lower down. But I think Red Bull really did show that if they can cling on at this point, they can be a real threat later in the season.
For damage limitation, they're doing a pretty good job.
Really good job.
They've admitted that's what it is at the moment. Mav, what do you reckon? Team? You're going to...
Lotus.
Oh. Come on.
Both of them survived. That's a better...
They did, which I suppose... Yeah, that's a definite achievement. For those guys, it'll be interesting where that goes over the next few weeks. I think very much so. Highlight them. Go on, Pen. You were itching.
I got a few. I got notes in the vein of that Mav has introduced to the. I would say Massa's start was outstanding, and it did make me think as he jumped that. But he found that sweet spot. He found that grip.
It was like he pressed the A button just as it hit one on Super Mario Kart.
Yeah,
got the super
spot on. He did absolutely brilliant. Button overtaking Mike's man Valtteri, turn one, lap 10. Cracking move. I made notes. Cracking move. But as I said, that's why it's just so enjoyable to watch Button looking just that absolute smooth, classy driver that we know he is. And then I've also put Hamilton Rosberg battling on lap 19, but actually just Hamilton Rosberg, just that whole fight.
Was that when Rosberg actually overtook him up to turn 4
and Hamilton
got him back?
Yeah, because it was just out of nowhere.
Yeah,
because the last we saw there was more than a second.
No, literally just the cameras have snapped to them and look at this.
And they're going and he's done it, and you were just like, oh my goodness, and really into it. Great bit of interplay, and just the battle between those two. We touched on it earlier. Someone coming over the radio just before the safety car comes in and says exactly the same message to both drivers: guys, race, but don't mess this up. And that's exactly what they did. So the battle between those two, for me, just knocked that out of the park.
Good point. Paddy Lowe's message: who here thought, oh right, they're not allowed to race?
No, not at all.
Everyone said they were free to
take Kravitz dropped the ball on that one.
I really didn't understand that at all.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that's not what he means at all, Ted.
They've been told to race.
But there you go.
Just don't crash.
Exactly. It seemed pretty straightforward. Bless Ted. Okay, well, are there any highlights left?
Sorry.
So, no. Great stuff. We love notes.
Well, Ped already said about lap 19. I'd have written down lap 18/19 for that sort of battle. I know we talked about what they did towards the end and all of that sort of stuff, but to have that kind of battle in the middle of a race, I think it's fantastic to have them that close and still scrapping, even though they're in the point of the race where normally it would get a bit dull, and everyone would sort of settle into their little routines and stuff, and then they'd have a battle towards the end. But that was fantastic to have that mid-race.
Probably me, apart from the Rosberg-Hamilton battles, was Ricardo's message when he's behind Vettel.
Yes.
So I did like that.
That was brilliant.
Because that's a bit of confidence from him to actually,
talking,
he's a full time world champion as a teammate, to actually say, get him out of the way, I'm quicker here. And I thought, he's confident in his team.
I understand, because at the time, it wasn't for position, he wasn't racing him because of the strategy was different and everything.
But I would have kind of liked the team to have come back and gone, if you're faster, get past him. If you're that much faster than him, get past him. And I think if it was later in the race and it was for position, if it was for finishing in those positions, there's no way Seb would have given that up.
But then,
absolutely not.
Well,
no way.
But then, of course, you have Vettel coming back and saying, yes, I'll let him overtake here, I'll give him this point, we'll make it all nice and easy. And it's a very interesting dynamic with those two at the moment. Top speed, yeah, good call there, Carl, like that.
I think that was just going to add another one of my highlights.
Bloody notes.
Well, it's just like all of the different inter-team battles as well that we had. Not only did we have sort of Hamilton and Rosberg going on, but we had Bottas and Massa and Hülkenberg and Perez battling with each other. And I think at one point you had the two Mercedes followed by the two Force Indias followed by the two Red Bulls followed by the two Williams followed by the two Ferraris.
That was every time it finished, wasn't it?
Yeah, and apart from Ricciardo getting past, that is pretty much how it finished. That
and
fantastic.
Also the two Sauber drivers were battling each other to see who could get to the buffet first. When they both crashed out.
That's true, actually.
I think Adrian Sutil had just destroyed it before Gutierrez got there. He must have been devastated.
Adrian Sutil was one of my nominations for Goat of the Week that I forgot, but Mav, you were going to chip in then.
Yeah, well, it was just pretty much what DT said was what I had, and but it was always seemed to me that the faster driver of the two teammates always seemed to be behind and was always making the moves to try and pass and getting shut out and then picking it back up. Would always pretty much eventually get past, but for some reason it just always seemed that the faster ones were in the rear of the other.
Exactly. Get him out of the way. Steve, do you have a highlight?
Not really. I mean, that's all been covered now.
That's fine. No. Well, the only one I wanted to mention was Rosberg's reaction when they were out of the car. They were all out of the cars in Parc Fermé, and Rosberg sort of went over and did this sort of dummy tackle thing of him, which I just thought, I don't know. It just, he must have been pretty gutted. You don't know how they're going to react, and I just thought, you sort of wonder if they're going to, kick off at some point. But that was almost, you imagine, the reaction that they both had to each other in karting the first time that they'd,
Well, I think you're exactly right. And I think what that shows is that's just not knowing how to express the emotion of what a good fight it was. And I think that there was nothing dirty about it. It was completely clean. And it was just that, oh my God, I can't believe you did that really well. I mean, they obviously get on. They work really closely together. They seem to be, I'm not going to say they're best friends, BFFs or whatever, but, they probably follow each other on Twitter. We know Hamilton takes that as a real sign of friendship. Bring it back,
Steve,
Twitter game.
Steve, you need to be on Twitter.
Bring it back, Twitter
Lewis,
game.
Lewis might.
But I think, as you say, it's that enthusiasm, like what you get from karting when you're actually properly just racing, you, the car, and the road, and your opponent, and that's it. And I think if Lewis had been any other team, I think you'd have seen that same reaction. So if he'd still been driving for McLaren, and Nico had been in a Mercedes, you'd have still seen that reaction for him. He'd have still got in there and been like, "Oh, you are, you little," and had it from there. I thought that was really nice.
So I think they were talking about karting when they get their watches and bottles of water, because I think Hamilton's been job. There's like a race we had in Italy sometime afar. But you did say, I was the other way around, I was behind you, but I did win in the end.
Good old Lewis. Right, we're going to wrap this up there. I think we are done. That is Bahrain. We'll be back with part two of this week's podcast, if you like, looking ahead to China in a fortnight as my stomach rumbles. Lots of usual stuff, edp24.co.uk/F1. You'll find this podcast, my weekly EDP column, and loads of other stuff as per normal. You can get hold of us on Twitter. There's the EDP account, which is at edpf1, and me at Michael J. Bailey. You can get these guys as well, apart from Steve, obviously. Not yet. Soon. Mm-hmm. Ped?
Anyone wants to tweet a question to Steve can tweet me and I'll ask him on the pod.
Like his Twitter PA.
Yeah, I'll be his Twitter PA, that's no, exactly right. And you can get me at PedHD56.
Mav?
You can get me at Sandbox94.
DT?
At Dave Tillier.
Kyle?
At KCumbers.
I always think no one actually gets hold of us individually, do they? But it's alright. It's alright.
That's fine. EDP. But now that Steve's on the market, people might.
What's the truth?
There's
yeah.
that mystique about him. There's that
Hashtag ask Steve.
Hashtag ask Steve. Steve.
Yeah. Make sure we see the tweet as well. I'm not going to search. It's what I'm saying. I'm not going to search for it. So you can use it if you want. Right then, well, we'll be back in a few days, probably once I've edited it. So thanks, gents, for the efforts. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back soon. Bye for now.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.